The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
I'm on her side, and I don't know exactly what her side is.
I think you're totally spot on with that.
I sound inept just to help you out.
It's been a rough week, thanks to your advice.
Are you a regular listener to this program?
As much as I can be.
There's your problem.
I would not ever disagree with you because you're so smart. You have a lot of answers to a lot of things.
You don't want to listen to me on the radio.
So what do I do?
I can't give you any direction.
Thank you for empowering me. I needed that.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, do you know somebody who does?
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Don't try it. We have put a telemarketer block on this program. Some of you trying to get in under the auspices of a telemarketer. Don't do it. We recognize you. But if you're not a telemarketer and you're not a bot, what else, Andrew, is it technically called when something's a fake in the cyber world? A bot, a robot, I don't know what those things are. Anyway, I'll ask my 9-year-old nephew. If you are a person with a question, a concern, a conundrum, something that is flummoxing you, or something that you think should flummox you, but it's not, and that's flummoxing you, call the program. I'd be delighted to talk to you. I am a psychologist. That's what I have done professionally in my life. At the office this morning, and will, God willing, be at the office tomorrow morning. But here, we don't do the therapy. We don't do the diagnosis. And I get a lot of emails where people will say, we're seeing a therapist, and we want to, no, I can't comment on that. If you're seeing a professional. However, you and I can talk and educate on some topics that might be giving you some distress in your life. Or, now here's a common evidence of catachresis, or malapropism, if you will, that if you're experiencing a stress, no, it's not a stress. Stress is the reaction. Stressor is what causes the stress. So if you're experiencing a particular stressor, you call this number, 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal. And you and I can jaw if you're a guy, or we can share if you're a woman. We can debate, battle words if you're a guy, or we can emote and empathize if you're female. I want to thank North Shore Legatus down in Louisiana, Mandeville. What a great visit that was. And then I got to travel over to Longview, Texas, St. Anthony, which is the certain nome of my parish when I was growing up, St. Anthony, which was also Mother Angelica's parish in Canton, Ohio. So the folks at St. Anthony, what a nice bunch of folks. And the Mandeville Legatus folks, thank you very much for having me out your way. Somebody comes into my office. One of the first things I have to do is to try to understand how they think. What motivates them? What is it that is feeding into their particular emotion or their conduct? I can't listen to them and in a short period of time say, well, you know, whoa, you are just way off. What are you thinking like that for? That's really dumb. I can't do that. No matter how much I might see that it is causing great tragedy in their life, how much I might see it's self-defeating their very goals, I first have to understand how they got there. Now, I have always discovered that immorality is illogical. Many of the people who come into my office are conducting themselves in very immoral ways, and whether they see it or not, it's at the root of their distress. Most recently, of course, the Supreme Court ruled the matter of abortion and its particulars back to the states. The hysterical overreaction to all of it, in the sense that this, in essence, stops all women in all places from seeking an abortion. It tells you there's something else going on underneath. Now, I have to believe that many of you listening to this program have relatives and friends, perhaps close relatives, close friends, who are of the mindset that this was just awful and terrible that this occurred, and they are feeling a resurgence of their defense of abortion. Perhaps they'll bring the topic up, or perhaps, more likely, they'll fire off a comment or two, snarky type comment. Well, you got what you wanted, didn't you? There you go. Just goes to show you what happens when you put those kind of folks on the Supreme Court. Something like that. And they'll think it's all so clever and creative. Now, you can do one of two things. No, actually, you can do one of three things. One, you can just stare at them and ignore it. Two, you can immediately begin to dispute them, which will lead to a real battle. Or three, you can be a therapist. You can, through very creative, very gentle questioning, you can have them explain to you why they think the way they do. Now, my experience has been many people have not thought through their positions on a lot of things. They utter cliches, they run by emotions, but they really haven't thought it through. And if you ask questions, if you explore in a gentle way, almost looking like you're perplexed, and you want to understand how they think this way. For example, relative says something snarky, gives you the opening, and you say, okay, I know you're for abortion. Do you believe that abortion should be allowed all the way up to birth? Now, most people don't agree with that. 84% of people don't agree with that in the U.S. They'll probably say, no, I don't. Okay, when do you believe it should be allowed? Well, I think that's a woman's decision. Okay. Now, in other words, you're being agreeable here. You're saying, I'm accepting what you're telling me as your thinking. I'm not going to dispute it. I'm not going to argue with it. I just want to explore it. And what your intent is to get them to say out loud the rationale behind their stance. Most people think in bits and pieces of sentences in their head. That's why writing is so hard for people, because it makes you put thoughts down on paper in a coherent way. It has been said many people have a book in them. Well, not so fast. They have a lot of thoughts in them. They got a jumble of thoughts up there, but they've never really followed them through along a linear progression. So they say, it's a woman's decision. Okay. When would it be not her decision? When would she not be allowed to make the decision to end the life of that baby in her womb? Well, I think it should be early. How early? When? I think the first 3 months. Okay. So what you're saying is, see how, notice the psychological angle. So what you're saying is, in the first 3 months, you don't believe that's a baby. Well, no, it's not a baby. It's not a baby at all. Okay. So if it has a heartbeat and a different genetic makeup, would that make it a separate person, or would that just simply make it part of the woman's body? I'd have to think about that. I'd have to think about that. Oh, okay. All right. So I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from. Just help me out, because I always want to know how people think who disagree with me. Now, keep in mind here, you're not disputing. You're not saying things like, well, you know, you were that age once. Well, you know, that's a baby with a complete different gender. You're not necessarily doing that. I mean, you could, but I think it's much more effective to get them to say it. You might ask a question like, when do you think it would not be okay for a woman to choose to end the life of a baby? That's between her and her doctor. See, that's a cliche response. It is. It's a cliche response. But that's okay. You're going to have to accept it, because you're going to get cliches in an argument like this. That's okay. That's between her and her doctor. When do you think that between her and her doctor, she would decide that's all right? I can't say that. I'm not in her body. I can't know that. So the question comes down to, then, is this a baby or isn't it? Is that pretty much what it is for you? Is this a baby or isn't it? Yes. All right, so the woman decides, is this what you're saying? The woman decides when it is a baby? Yes. What if another woman decides it's a baby at a different time? Does that then make it not a baby? You see what you're doing? You're taking what they tell you, and rather than disputing it, you're saying, okay, let's see where this leads. Now, will you change their mind? Oh, probably not at all. However, what you will do is you will skillfully, and this is a skill, it takes time to learn how to do this, you will make them say out loud why they take the position that they do. They will be defending their position. You will not be attacking it or defending yours. They're going to defend theirs. I had a friend once who got into a big argument with someone about the legitimacy of the Catholic Church. And it looked like he had dug his heels in and he was standing his ground and he was not going to budge. He later confessed to his wife on the way home after that interchange, did I sound as stupid as I think I sounded? He's now Catholic, by the way. All you're doing is you're just getting inside the head of another like a good therapist, and you're exploring their logic and their thinking, and you're taking the premises that they tell you, and you're asking, where do they lead? What does it mean? We could talk about this for a long time. 877-573-7825. I thank the folks waiting already for their patience. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray, and I sure am glad my mom let me live.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic. Have you heard the latest and greatest travel news? One more reason to join us on our premier Tees Italy pilgrimage, La Dolce Fede, or The Sweetness of Faith, this November 6th to the 14th. Hi, it's Teresa Tomio, and yes, it's an unbelievable price, some $3,600 for a seven-night land package, including Assisi, Orvieto, Rome, and much more. But now, and here's the latest and greatest news, no reason to worry about having to test to come back home. All testing requirements dropped. No vaccination, no testing, an incredible opportunity to visit tombs of the great saints such as Francis, Claire, Blessed Carlos Acutis, and so much more, except those tests. So call Corporate Travel now, 800-727-1999, or visit us online, AveMariaRadio.net, on our travel page. Call now, the trip is filling up, 1-800-727-1999. Hope to see you in Bella Italia in November.
My producer, Andrew Kruchek, just made a poignant observation. When I mentioned that I was in Mandeville, Louisiana, and I think I mentioned this to those folks, too. I'm not sure. They're going to have to change the name of their town. Personville, Louisiana? And we got, I think, and I got to hope I'm pronouncing this right, Ermenta, and she's going to have to change the name of her town, too, from Boise to Personsy. Hi, Ermenta. How are you?
I'm fine.
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, you did. It's an old Hebrew name, so I get called Aaron a lot, and I just go with it. I'm 46 years old, so I go with it. But yeah, it's pronounced Ermenta.
Do you know what it means?
Actually, it's from what I've researched, it's African Hebrew, and it means she who is bold and lofty.
Oh, there you go. See? No, see, the good thing about these names is they are never really bad. It wouldn't say Araminta means she who is a shrew. You know, you just don't get names like that, or your parents wouldn't name you if they knew it. Now, your son has been in prison for how long?
Well, it's been a year, and he's coming out because he had to do a year up in a place called Cottonwood. It's a writer program, so it's an alternative prison program where instead of doing the full 5 years, they give him a year. It's like a prison rehab because he has drug convictions, and so he's going to be timing out of that program, and he's going to be on probation for 4 years, and so that's kind of his situation.
He's coming to live with you because I assume he has no place else to live. And
Exactly. You're
nervous about this, not probably so much because of prison, but because of his history with you, correct?
Yes, and my mother is living with us now. Because my mother, she has end-stage kidney disease, and my son and my mother have never really gotten along, kind of had a torrid past, and it took a lot of forgiveness on my part, but my mother and I have worked through a lot of things, and I'm recently a Catholic. I'm still going to the RCIA program essentially, but you know, there's been a lot of emotional changes in my family over the last 3 years, and I'm just really, I have a lot of stress about him coming home, a lot of anxiety. I want to give him a very safe environment so he can continue his progress. I want to be able to lay down some boundaries and some really strong rules. But my son, you know, he became a Christian himself while he was in jail. He was an atheist turned Catholic himself. But, you know, he's 22 and he has a long road ahead of him. So I'm really anxious about what's going to happen and the dynamic. And I'm trying to figure out kind of the best way to navigate my mom, my son, my husband, and myself.
You came to me for the best way to navigate? I can give you maybe an okay to navigate, you know? I'm not sure I'm up to the best here. I would be a little unsettled if I were in your position, too. And here's why, Araminta. Because you're going to be in the middle of some friction-filled personalities. You can't control your mom, and you really can't control your son. What you can do is set some rules that you probably best be willing to enforce, which means, let's say he gets disrespectful to your mother. What are you going to do about it? How many times and how long is he going to be disrespectful before you finally say, okay, you obviously can't control yourself here. What are we going to do? You could approach him from the perspective of, what did you learn in becoming Catholic? How will that change the way you will treat us, you treat grandma, how you'll act? You can explore that with him. You can say, what's different now? You were an atheist before. You're a Catholic now, which is fantastic. But how will that make you a different person here?
Makes sense.
I'd just flat out ask him. I want to know. It's not one thing just to say I'm a Catholic now and I think I'm going to go to heaven if I die. It's quite another to say, well, I got to live as a follower of this Jesus God man.
Exactly.
Now, let's say he doesn't. There's a phrase I like. Hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Yeah.
What if he doesn't? He's only 22. He's not 29. He hasn't been kicked around by life and ready to settle in. He's still got a lot of vinegar in him. So what if you find out that, you know, after a month and a half, he's still not really looking for a job? He's kind of enjoying hanging around your place and doing whatever he does on the computer and the video games, whatever. Are you a single mom or do you have a husband?
No, my husband and I are both becoming Catholic, so, and it's his dad. We've been together 23 years.
Just out of curiosity, this is sort of a side angle. Why'd you decide to become Catholic?
Because my husband was a Mormon for a long time, and he had a very spiritual awakening one day. He was actually listening to Catholic radio because there was nothing good on the other talk show radios, and it moved him. And I grew up Jehovah Witness, and I never really agreed with the Jehovah Witness philosophies. And St. Mary's is in downtown Boise, and I've always loved that church. I've always loved the ambiance. I've always loved the feeling and the acceptance. And so I decided to make it official. I've been going to St. Mary's for the last 8 years, just whenever I needed a place to pray and be quiet. So I decided to make it official with my husband. And then my son, when he got arrested, he was really resistant to my husband and my change. And then he got on his knees and said, he found God. It was a very, I don't know, I want to call it bizarre, but it was also very divine intervention.
Prayers of a mother.
Yeah.
Interesting your history, because LDS really doesn't allow, or they don't like at all, if you're going to question the faith as an LDS follower. You're not to question the faith at all. And as a Jehovah's Witness, you could easily be shunned if you leave the faith.
Yeah.
You know all that. Oh. That's a particularly risky.
I have uncles and aunts who won't talk to me.
Which says something.
Yeah.
I think you and your husband would do well to sit down with your son when he comes in. We love you. We're ecstatic that you now are wanting to follow the faith. Couple of rules here, son. First of all, you got to go to church with us or by yourself if your schedule doesn't permit. You got to be respectful and cooperative. This is what we expect. This is what we want. Now, I've got to believe part of his probation will probably touch upon that anyway. Given that, you got to be prepared to say, what will we do if he is not cooperative? You always got to be ready for that one. You can't just assume, okay, we'll be nice, we'll be kind, we'll be loving, and he'll be cooperative. We'll see. But that's what I would suggest. Make it real clear at the outset so that it's not something where he's going to say, well, you know, give me 3 months to unwind here. Give me 3 months to kind of get used to the rules and used to the situation. Don't ask me to step in here and all of a sudden have to follow certain conditions. He I don't know where his mind is, but it could be there.
Yeah.
So God bless you. Good for you.
Thank you for the advice. There's a book that was advertised, you know, on Ave Maria Radio, you know, How to Talk to Your Adult Children. I think I'm going to get that book.
All righty. There you go. Thank you, my dear. I'll talk to you. 877-573-7825. I want to get to your calls. Don't
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
There's a difference between a talk show and a news show. Like, this is a talk show. We have talk shows on Ave Maria and EWTN. So talk show hosts are allowed to and encouraged, actually, to give their opinion, always looking at everything through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. And we are, in terms of what we do, we are expected that those opinions will reflect maybe a deeper understanding, provide you with other examples of how to apply that teaching to your life. That's what we do here at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, and we make no bones about the fact that we are pro-life, we are Catholic, we are here to uphold the teachings of the Church. So you're not going to hear us proclaiming anything that would be errant teaching or against what the Church gives us, especially on the core issue of life.
Catholic Connection, Teresa Tomeo, weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The virtue of purity and holy chastity is certainly a very important thing, but I think we can misunderstand this beatitude. As human beings in our fallen state, we tend to love things and use people, but we're meant to use things and love people. We can manipulate in relationships, and we can try to control other people, and we can focus on other people as objects. But to be pure in heart is to be in love, and ultimately to be pure in heart and to be happy is to be in love with God Himself as well. This beatitude calls us to have a focus on being open to choosing God, choosing life, to choose love. If God is not the ultimate end of our desires and our hopes and dreams, we will be the saddest of people. Let's say yes to God and choose His way, be focused on His love and pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
I was listening recently to Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World. He was talking about bilocation. I'll tell you, St. Padre Pio was... he had some very, very validated... confirmed episodes of bilocation. Truly, truly fascinating. But I don't bilocate. I can't. But I can bilocute. I can talk to two people in two different cities at the same time. Brian did email me, and his email was something that an awful lot of folks wrestle with and talk about and say, why is this not happening? Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dr. Ray. How are you doing?
Okay, buddy. So,
well, this should be an interesting question after your email show yesterday when you had that last person call in and talk to you about dealing with the kind of the fear of the devil and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I want to follow up on that.
Yeah.
One.
Go ahead.
When I was listening to your show a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about what motivates us not to do evil. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a child, and especially as an adolescent or a young adult, that part of what kept me strongest or kept my strongest sinful desires in check was a fear of hell and mortal sin. And, you know, a lot has changed since when I was a kid. But I was wondering, you know, and I remember hearing the stories about Fatima where Our Lady... you know, showed the little kids images of hell.
And yeah, that was a scary image, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know. And, you know, that was clear. And, you know, the words that Jesus said about, you know, him coming here to keep us from going there. So how in our current culture would you recommend us as parents or grandparents talking about the fear of judgment in hell? And, you know, how do we navigate that in a healthy way these days?
Start out with, obviously, our Lord's love. That it's there, always will be there. And the main reason, the best reason, the holiest reason to obey Him is out of love for Him, gratitude for Him. Want to be His follower because He's given us everything. You know, you focus on those. Those are the main upper motives, if you will. However, And again,
and fully agree with you there.
Introducing hell to a little kid, you got to be real delicate about that. They got to get to the point where they understand. Maybe I would say it this way, and I think this is maybe a reflection of something that St. John Paul said, which is that hell may be the absence of God. In other words, rather than focusing on literal fire, you focus on, if you decide that you want no part of God, if you decide you want to do it your way, if you ignore him, if you do things that are seriously against what he says is the way to live, then in the end, he may allow you simply to choose forever to be apart from him. And we don't know exactly what all that entails and how that punishes, but it's something that you want to take into account. I think part of the problem, Brian, for you in struggling on how to introduce hell is the whole idea of it's a place of fire. You know, when our Lord talked about Gehenna was the dump outside the city that was constantly smoldering and constantly smelling. And he was probably trying to create the strongest image he could create about somebody essentially turning from God. In the end, this would be their final state. So I think with little kids, I would say, you know, there's two sides here. One, to love God and to live for him is by far what you want to do. But keep in mind that if you decide that you don't want to do that, then God has no choice but to let you go your own way. And that way could be apart from God forever, for all time. And that we won't get into time in eternity, because that's confusing for a person. It's very confusing for anybody, but forever. That's probably the way I'd focus on it, something like that, if I'm going to get into it.
I get all that and would completely concur. But then I wonder about, you know, are we not warning people the way Jesus warned people, or especially our kids? Are we not warning them the way Mary warned the kids at Fatima and the way Jesus warned people? It's like, you know, you'll be in the outer darkness and banging on the door and it'll be closed. you know, so it seems like there's a warning element here. And I wonder if, you know, yes, you accent the positive and you don't want to create, you know, an emotional or a physical fear as much as you want them to be positive and so forth. But what about the warning? Are we supposed to be warning our kids?
Oh, I agree totally. My opinion, for whatever it's worth.
How do you
worth,
do that?
we have drifted from the pulpits, from our writings. We have drifted from. It's like anything else. Cultures tend to be like ice skaters. They go one direction with one foot, and then they come back in the other direction with the other foot. And I think for much of Christian history, hell was a motivator. It was emphasized. And then we said, oh boy, too much talk about hell here. We gotta kind of emphasize the love. But then in emphasizing the love, we pretty much neglected the hell. So I agree with you. I would like to hear more about God's perfectly fair judgment in all this, which we're not hearing. I mean, I can't really recall the last time I heard a homily talking about judgment.
Is it right to use that as a motivator?
Yeah. Well, the church would tell you that's the fear of hell is an imperfect motivator. It's still a motivator. And anybody that is reasonably rational, Brian, would have an honest to goodness, pardon the pun, fear of hell. Of course. Why would you not? You know, as I get older in my life, it becomes more real to me, my end and my judgment. And commensurately with that is my fear of hell. Of course, I don't want it to be my main motivator, but I would be absolutely infinitely stupid if I just neglected it and said, "Hey, I'm in, man." And I think part of what you see in the non-denominationals and the evangelicals who are pulling so many Catholics out of the church is the once saved, always saved. If you're once saved, always saved, you don't have to worry about hell at all. It's not even a factor because you can't lose your salvation, which has never been Christian teaching. Good stuff, Brian. Thank you. 877-573-7825. Again, reminder, I always remind people right at this point in the program, call. Because the chances of you getting on are equal pretty much any time you call.
Where has the church reached perfection? In the person of the Blessed Mother, according to the Catholic Catechism, who is without spot or wrinkle. We, the faithful, are still striving to conquer sin and increase in holiness. The word Catholic means universal. The Church is Catholic in a double sense. First, the Church is Catholic because Christ is present in her. Where there is Christ Jesus, there is the Church, says the Catechism. From him, she receives the fullness of the means of salvation, correct and complete confession of faith, full sacramental life, and ordained ministry in apostolic succession. Secondly, the Church is Catholic because she has been sent by Christ to the whole human race. In the beginning, God made human nature one and has decreed that all his children who were scattered should finally be gathered together as one. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Dr. Edgar Indy here, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Before we return to your phones, I just want to share something that a person I know shared with me. Some years back, he told me about a dream he had. And the dream was him being judged by God and hearing that he was going to hell. He woke up so terrified, sweating, frightened, terrified. He said it was by far the most intense, scary dream he ever had. I think about that sometimes for myself, which is, what would a reaction be to hearing, as our Lord said in his instruction about the final judgment of everybody? Away from me, for I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. Off with you to the devil. What would the sense be? I mean, that would be just frightening, wouldn't it? Absolutely terrifying. And I think about that, and the only thing that keeps me from really, really being terrifically shook up, I mean, shook up beyond the point of enjoying life, is that I trust the Lord in the sense that his promise is, by his grace, if I can persevere in loving him and in getting up every time I fall toward him, then I trust him. And it's that trust that gives me peace. If you just concentrate on hell, you'd have no peace. But I think it's still good to keep it there as a reality. Church has a sin called presumption, which basically means you presume upon the judgment of God, which is, I'm in. And that appeals to human nature, doesn't it? I'm in. I want the assurance. I want to know. If you die tonight, do you know where you're going? I remember reading that outside a tent at a county fair because they wanted to tell you, make a confession of faith to Jesus Christ and you're in, it's over, it's done. Do not pass go, do not collect $200, straight to paradise. Nancy from Cincinnati, Ohio, has a friend who disagrees with her about something, but I'm wondering why the friend brought it up. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. The friend brought it up because I posted on social media that another victory from God, that, okay, prayer, the coach wasn't apprehended for kneeling at the 50-yard line for praying with his team.
Well, actually, wait a minute. Let's get the details particular. He didn't pray with his team. It was post-game. He kneeled on the 50-yard line. He didn't ask any team member to pray with him.
Oh.
If they wanted to, they could. And that was 7 years ago. He was fired 7 years ago. It took it 7 years to work its way up the court ladder. And the court said that that's a major league stretch to prohibit someone from praying in public like that. Not only was it against freedom of religion, but it was against freedom of speech. So what was your friend's problem with that?
She said, well, it's all fun and games until Muhammad, Muhammad, rolled out the prayer rug on the 50-yard line. So basically it wasn't a prayer. It's a kneeling thing, right?
So she was against it because she was worried that other religions, non-Christian, pagan,
right,
would have the mm-hmm. same right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is they do. They already do. And so it seems to be Christianity or Judaism or anything that is monotheistic would be prohibited. And by doing that, the Supreme Court said, you're going way too far. You're telling the guy that he cannot kneel down of his own volition after a game. He didn't tell the team, come on, we're going to pray all together. And anybody who doesn't pray isn't going to start and do any of that. He just simply knelt down and gave thanks to the Lord. You know, when who is the quarterback? I'm blanking on his name. He's out of the league now. But he was an obvious Christian, and he made no bones about his Christianity. He'd kneel in the end zone, and he'd say a little prayer. Well, he got a lot of grief for that. Somebody wants to call Eric and tell me the name of that quarterback. Tim Tebow, that's it. Thanks, Andrew. He got grief for that, but he wasn't stopped, wasn't against any law. So I think you might just want to do this. Ask your friend, Nancy, say, are you saying, just want to understand what you're saying, that no one at any time of any religion should then be allowed to express that religion. Is that what you're saying? Ask her if would she be able to put a statue of the Blessed Virgin in her front yard? How about a creche at Christmas time? Would she be able to do that? What about a bumper sticker that says, "My co-pilot is Jesus"? Is that allowed? What if a Wiccan puts a bumper sticker that says, "I adore witches"? In other words, she's saying none of that should be allowed at any time by anybody because it expresses some kind of spirituality. I just ask her if that's what she's saying. You're not trying to dispute her. You just want to say I want to hear your reasoning about this. See what she says. Because I'll tell you, Nancy, I'll bet she hasn't thought it through. She's just uttering a cliche, which is, well, you know, if we let Christians pray, then we got to let Wiccans pray. Then we got to let pagans pray. See, that's a cliche. You got to follow where it leads. Thanks, Nance. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. We will be shortly returning.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Knowledge by acquaintance is what St. Paul's talking here. We need to increase our acquaintance of God. What can we do to increase our knowledge of God? Well, study Scripture, pray, fast. But here's the obvious question. Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Or are you simply kind of staying stable? You're living off past encounters. When we speak of increasing our knowledge of God, as I said, you can read all the books you want about God and you'll have lots of information, but it doesn't mean that you'll necessarily become acquainted with Him. We need to know God by acquaintance, and that's what lies at the heart of all true religion.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Thank you again for joining me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Doctor is in. Living Right with Dr. Ray, the TV show on the EWTN Global Catholic Television Network in its now 11th season. Jeez, I look back at those early shows. Like, who's the young dude? That was my son doing those early shows. 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday nights, as well as 9:30 on Tuesdays, 9:30 a.m. on Tuesdays. And for you early birds, real early in the morning. We were on Friday, but I believe we're on Thursday now. John is calling from Dexter, Michigan. He's got a comment on the question from Brian regarding where is hell in our discussion. Hi, John.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I was just thinking how, the way to heaven is paved with faith, hope, and love. And the opposites of faith, hope, and love are distrust, despair, and self-centeredness. And it seems like those are a formula for a do-it-yourself hell. And if people live that way on Earth, they're likely to live that way in the afterlife.
So you're saying that your understanding of hell, or at least some of it, is that we're forced to live with ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, you think about that. I mean, there's been some theological speculation on that, which is so very much of the bitterness and resentment or anger or neglect of God, we carry that into the eternity, and then we become even more resentful and bitter because of our own choices toward God.
Yeah, you know, if we shut God out of our lives on earth, you know, do we stop shutting him out when we die? You know, that just seems unlikely.
Well, you're right there. There is one of the things that C.S. Lewis makes the point. He says, why doesn't God just keep giving you choice after choice after choice to accept him? You live long enough, you'll have enough choices, and finally you'll turn to God. And Lewis makes the observation that he says, a good schoolmaster knows when the boy is not going to learn the subject, he's refusing to learn the subject, and no matter how many times he presents the subject, the kid is not going to accept it. And I think that Lewis was saying that an infinite mind would know, is this person ever going to accept what God offers? Would he? You know, I've always been stunned as a psychologist that how many people, as they get older, and really older, 85, 90, 95, do not consider the question of the afterlife. They don't. It amazes me, and I think it speaks, John, to the idea that you get locked into a certain mode of thinking, and it becomes habitual, and it is very hard to crack it. It's solidified, you know? It is becoming a petrified form of thinking. Petrified meaning two different things. One, you should be petrified, and the other one is you are petrified.
Yeah, we got to keep learning, keep questioning, and keep trying to go deeper.
Well, one of the things that brought me back to the Catholic Church was that I realized that this is the biggest question I will ever entertain in my life. It's bigger than who will I marry. It's bigger than what is my career. It's bigger than what are my goals in life. It is infinitely bigger than any other question that I consider, which is there a God? Is Jesus God? Is the Catholic Church his church? And what do I do about it? And that question haunted me for years, because I had to know to the best of my ability to be able to say this is the question of life. And the thing that stuns me as a psychologist is how many people do not ponder that question. They don't. You would think self-interest would push them to do so, John, but I'm totally buffaloed by how many don't, especially later in life. You know, when you're 23 years old, you think you got infinity stretching out in front of you. But when you're 83 years old, if you're thinking clearly, you know you don't. So I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much for the call. God bless you. Call again. This is Dr. Ray. No time to take. Was it the words for the Who? No time left for you. We could do that song, can't we, Andrew? Towards the end of the program like this. No time left for you. But I'm not on my way to better things. I'm on my way to other things, because being with you is a pretty good thing. So I thank you here for joining me. I thank Andrew Kruchuk, my producer man, Eric Dumont, Call Screamer Man. They all have children. Oh, I got four of them, I think, all scattered among them. How very nice. Most recent book is Living Calm. It is a re-release of an earlier book. It's updated, and it is edited, because I look back on my early writing style and thought, ooh! Ooh, my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Elgis, would have slashed that thing apart with red ink. She didn't worry about the color ink she used. And I thank Mrs. Elgis for that, because she made me look at some of the stuff I wrote, which I thought was pretty good. And now, even now, I'm looking back at that stuff thinking, I thought that was pretty good then. And I look at it now and I go, ooh, I got to make it better. Definitely can be better. So, good Lord permitting, I will speak with you tomorrow here on The Doctor Is In. If you want the Living Calm book, you can go to the EWTNRC.com. It's cataloged there. Or you can go to my website, drray.com. Book is both places. I'm trying to make it a million seller. A million in my cellar. Walk with God now. Walk with God all the way into the afterlife. Walk with him now. Much more chance of walking with him then.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.